Good morning, River Church. Thank you for joining us. We have the teaching team here, and we are going to be unpacking the 11 weeks we just did of Ephesians and looking over
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit concerned. You said come Christmassy, and
I came Christmassy.
That is not this. This is Christmassy, and I'm a little bit sad because you guys are not.
Mark, can we look? I don't know if you can zoom in, Wayne. Your pug has one arm, and your arms look like they're candy canes. Is it like the Popeye pug?
But this is Christmas, and I. All right, I'm sorry. I do have another sweater, so I guess I'll just change. But come on, man. I'm sorry.
Well, good morning, River Church. Mark has changed. Apparently, we brought the wrong Christmas spirit and ugly Christmas sweaters. However, if you would like in the comments, you can write, and maybe next message, Nick will wear the pug t-shirt.
What?
I would like that. But, River Church, we have an exciting thing. We have done this type of preaching with all four of us. I believe this is our third time this year, I think so. And we are going to try it again. We have all taught on the book of Ephesians the last 11 and 12 weeks, and we want to unpack it a little bit with you, as well as go through some stuff over in the year. Honestly, it's hard to concentrate right now because I have the picture of the one-armed pug in my head. But anyway, we digress. So this year, 2020, as we all know, has been crazy. I remember at the beginning of the year, in February, we were at winter retreat with high schoolers, and I kind of prophesied over them that the topic of this year would be worldview, and that the year would not be what we expected, and it would change our worldview. Hmm. So I'm sorry. COVID was my fault, I think, you know, in that moment, no. But I do think this year for 2020, perfect vision, as the joke has gone about, our worldview has been shaken. And I don't know when we've had like a global pandemic like this, maybe during the Second World War, but it feels like a lot of us are on the same page, yet we are so distant from each other and so much divide. But this year we have spoken on some of the topics that I'm about to bring up, and it feels like the Lord has prepared us for these moments. So at the beginning of the year when we did the fast, if you can remember pre-COVID in January, we talked about going back to the basics, word worship and community and worship and prayer. And then we went into the life and the story of David. Then we did a thing about joy. And then we did 12 weeks on the spiritual disciplines and 12 weeks on Ephesians. So, Pastor Mark, 2020, with all of these, what are the big takeaways that you feel like we've talked about and the big takeaways from the River Church this year?
Yeah, so in our preparation and prayer for the year, really, I think it goes back to that very beginning thing of back to the basics. And we were talking and praying about going, man, we need to have some sort of a reset in some of the things that we're doing. And how are we going to get to that point? And we were just looking at the race that we were running, and we're going, I don't know how we can slow down to actually even reset anything. And then COVID hits. And then we're like, oh, okay, this is a big deal. Here we go. This is our opportunity to slow down, take a breath, and go, what is important to us? Mm. What are the main things? What's on our hearts? And so, you know, then we're digging into David and his leadership and just his life. And I think that we even kind of hit joy a little bit and talked about that. But for me, going back to the basics, when we all started talking about spiritual disciplines and the importance of meditation and reading and study and solitude, I mean, these are things that we couldn't do, really. And we were given permission, I think, for this season to take a step back and breathe and go, okay, all of this other stuff, it's great, it's fun, it's a lot of work, but our relationship with God is so vital and so important that we need to take that step back and we need to focus on that. And then also, because of the isolation, at least for me, I am seeing so much the value of community. And I think that you guys watching and all of us here can agree that as we've closed, as we've been separate from each other, it hurts. I know that myself, I've been physically ill thinking about not doing church. Mm-hmm. As a corporate body, because mm-hmm. I think that we can do church in our homes. Mm-hmm. I think that we can do church outside of these walls. And we've talked about that. But to have that opportunity to be together, to not speak in front of a camera all the time, but to actually interact with a congregation on a Sunday, those things are important. And it's vital, I see, for us as believers to be together. To hang out together, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other. You know, iron sharpens iron. I mean, these are big things. And then just to help lift each other up when we're down. And you know, these are important things that I'm seeing that are really vital for relationship.
So as we went from spiritual disciplines into Ephesians, what were your big takeaways from the book of Ephesians?
Oh man, the big takeaway from Ephesians. Was really this idea and perspective that Ephesus was this bustling city, port city, and there were so many different religions, different races, different people that are in the mix. And here's this little church of Jewish believers, and they're hanging out together, and Paul's going, look, you gotta open up. You gotta recognize that there's so much more to who God is and how much He loves not just the Jews, but the entire world. And to have that idea of unity coming from circumcised and uncircumcised, when in that place there was possibly such a feeling of segregation. It's like we're Christ followers and that's our thing. You can be another thing, and you can worship that, but this is just us in our little holy huddle. Mm-hmm. And Paul's going, no, break that, mm-hmm. release that. That is not kingdom mentality. Mm-hmm. That's not Christ mentality. And so, that to me was one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, the heart and the love and the reach that God has for the world is so much greater than I could possibly imagine. And it really affected me in a major way. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge takeaway for me. And just him pushing that with this church.
Yeah. What about you, Nick and Jill? What are some of your big takeaways from Ephesians?
For me, I actually love the overview that you brought up, because when the overview kind of put it in perspective of like, here's some cultural things that are happening and here's the context of the town. And it even like, when you reference it back to the book of Acts, like economy, all that stuff. And it just goes to show when you see the big picture of like Ephesians, like what you put it out, you see that really there is a solid cultural parallel and that is happening in our world today and whatnot. And that, to me, really, that's like the piece that says, this is why the Word of God is still living and active and sharp, because the parallels that come through human history are always there. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, like, that set the stage, and I appreciated that. So that was a good word.
Yes. Well, I have to agree with, I don't have to, but I do agree.
Thank you.
With Nick, because I remember sitting in the back of the sanctuary when we were talking about the overview and hearing all of the highlights of what Paul was speaking to the Ephesians. And I was like, oh yeah, all of this is really valuable. And I see why there's spiritual warfare, and I see why he brought that in. I know I've already spoken on that in my messages, but it hit me in a different way of going, when he's talking about our identity, when he's talking about unity of believers, when he is talking about the power of his Spirit, when he's talking about the gifts of his Spirit and how that like edifies a church and brings miracles, as he's laying all this stuff out in our relationships with people, I'm like, why wouldn't the enemy want to steal all of this? Because this is like a download of how the church can be and was designed to be. And if we could get even some of these things, like what a crazy difference it would be. And because this has been prophesied over our church many times, I was able to see it in a totally different light again and receive the really specific instruction in all of that. And I still feel like we could do another 12 weeks or more on all the other scriptures that we didn't get to hit on.
Yeah, it was just cool to think that, you know, God is, it, just in how Paul wrote the book and wrote this letter, it's just going, God is awesome. Here's how he is. Here's what he's what he's doing. Here's what he's like. So therefore, which is the title of the series, therefore, here's how you walk that out. And here's how we can be in response to that. And it was just really a powerful thing. I agree. It was just really cool to look at this whole thing and go, it is still relevant. God is still on the move. He still has a plan. And through this letter, we can look at this and go, okay, God, Paul was hearing from you, and this still can be applied to the church of Durango, the TRC church of Durango today.
Yep.
What was your takeaway?
I found it very interesting that the book, it's only 15 minutes to read. And I felt like I entitled the first message, Ephesians Ground Zero for Identity. And anytime I've struggled with it, just sit down for 15 minutes and it kind of fires you up. You know, the first three chapters is like, here is the narrative of Christ, and therefore, this is your narrative. This is how you fit in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like by the time I get to the end, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I do what I do. That's why I believe what I believe. It's one of the most encouraging books. Paul can often write being like, life sucks, but then this one is like, yeah, but therefore, Christ, everything, you know? Yeah. And so I found that very, I like doing the overview. I like big picture stuff, but yeah, I think the fact that we called it therefore was to remind us, Christ, therefore, this is how we fit in the narratives. I do find the correlation between the early church, which Ephesians is based in, obviously, the time where Christ came and 2020, there's a lot of parallels of struggle, of tension. So what do you think are some of the big lessons, if I can go with Jill, where we are as a church and the tension we find when we read this book?
Okay. So where are we as a church and what is the, I think that where I find us right now, or at least where I find where my perspective is in all of this, is that we're in a really hard place, a very good place, but a really hard place where, because we have been, even when we were meeting in the building, it still feels so distant, so separate. There's, because everything is so unfamiliar, and that's a huge challenge. And when you get like that, it becomes easier to make assumptions. It becomes easier to listen to everything that's being thrown our way, and it's easier to make decisions about people and who they are and what they're doing. I mean, I remember when I was preaching about submission of the different camps that we sit in, and it just feels like it's become more and more evident to me that there are so many different camps that everybody sits in. And so the other day when we were praying with some of the women in our women's prayer group, we went back to Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And it goes into talking about there's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one faith, all of that, one baptism. And it was a reminder through the exact book that we're reading that we actually have to make every effort for this bond of peace, to keep the unity of peace, that it isn't just going to happen. As we have discovered, I think that a year ago there was a kind of pretend unity, but there was like an ease of some unity because being together felt like unity. Whether it was actual unity or not, we can debate that a lot, but that's what it felt like, and that it was easy. And in this season, where that has been taken out of the equation, or in and out, or disrupted, I feel like we have to realize, oh my gosh, unity takes a lot of effort. Like, I knew that a year ago, but I didn't know that to the degree that I know it now. That I have to make an effort to know you. I have to make an effort to hear your perspective. I have to make an effort to keep us unified, because that's why we know each other. We know each other because we know Christ. Like, I would not know you, I would not know this place if I didn't know Christ. And if we can't keep going back to that place. And I think there was another part I'll get to that in maybe in the future. But essentially it was, how can we make this effort to continue forward in this unity when the enemy is just coming with thing after thing after thing to threaten to divide? And will we fight for peace? Will we fight for unity, or will we continue to fight each other? And my hope is that we will continue to fight for unity, even in the really hard overcoming pieces.
Do you want to read that verse one more time?
Yeah, it's Ephesians 4:3. I keep saying 2. 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I will say that in verse 2 it says, be completely humble. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Man, it takes saying, I don't understand your perspective and I want to. And it takes saying, I gotta have the patience to endure and overcome some of the distance, overcome the assumptions, overcome the things that have threatened to divide, and make effort to fight for this unity in this Spirit. So.
Yeah. So this year has been a very non-traditional year in many regards. And right now, 20th December, we're speaking about Ephesians, and we're not doing a traditional Christmas message in the what we may have done before. Mark, what do you think about this, that we've still been doing Ephesians in December, and like kind of what was the thinking behind that?
So the thinking behind that was we don't want to just leave Ephesians for one. We don't want to just kind of stop over Christmas.
Yep.
And reflect on this. But I think that another big part of this is that Jesus was born for the church in Ephesus to be able to meet and gather. Jesus was born so that we could gather. We could praise him. We could worship him. And he came to die on a cross, and that is what Ephesians is talking about, this love of a Savior, this love of Christ and what he's done for us so that we can gather and therefore live this life and work together to see God's kingdom reign. Mm-hmm. And so for us to continue this through Christmas, it's a little awkward, you know, but it's not so jingle bells and tinkly, you know, for sure. But I think overall, the message still is that here is hope, and here is the life that we get to have mm-hmm. because of Christ, and that we can come together. Like Jesus, he came for all mankind. And when you have this church in Ephesus, where it's talking about, I'm going to go back to the unity piece. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about all of these different people groups, all these different religions, all of these different entities in one place, and he's going, hey, I came for all of this. I love each individual, and mm-hmm. I want them to know me, and I want them to find this truth.
Yep.
And I think that is Christmas. Mm-hmm. This amazing gift, that is Christmas. So I think it is relevant for this time.
Absolutely. Something that just came to my head was, if, like you were saying, at the beginning of the year, we went back to the basics. We literally taught on the basics. And then when we went into lockdown, we found ourselves in the middle of the tension of the life of David. It just hit me like this, that we were going through all the changes, and yet we were talking about David's victories and falls many times, you know? And then when the protests and riots started was when we talked about joy. We didn't plan this out. We didn't know this was going to happen. We planned out what we were going to speak on, but we didn't necessarily, you know the
culturally
stuff behind the scenes. We talked about joy, which is very difficult but very profound. Mm-hmm. And then during Ephesians, as soon as we started talking about unity, was lockdown 2.0, the election, and then just disruption in the world. And I just think it's really interesting how we've, you know, the Lord had told us that, I think it was last November, that the kind of the layout that the year looked like, and just seeing all of that ebb and flow. And I know we've all found this very hard, preaching in front of cameras. We've been open for some of the year, you know, we recorded in the underground. But can I ask all of us, let's start with Nick, if we can just do a snapshot of the year, what is the Lord speaking to you through what we have taught and throughout the year of 2020?
Hmm. I think that probably this is going to piggyback off of what Jill said a little bit ago, but and actually what Mark started with too. Things like what happened with COVID and what's happening with COVID have definitely like tested us in a certain fashion. So we can see like perhaps we had a sense of unity of what we thought of unity. But I was in the Word yesterday, and I have opportunity to improve in remembering addresses. I was reading where it says, test yourselves to make sure that you're in the faith. Examine yourselves to make sure that you're in the faith. And the reality is that apart from testing yourself or being put in a place where it can be exposed, where it has to be exposed, like you really don't know, like you have a concept of what you think you're at until it's actually brought up. And to see this, that unity is like, this is actually how the Lord cares for his church. And this is how he brings it out and says, you know, yes, great, you had a perspective, this is where it was, and that was good, and that was also, and there's other pieces of that too, and so learn from this. And I really actually think that this is the season of learning for the church, because it exposes, like, if we can meet in person or we can't meet in person, actually doesn't matter. What really matters is, regardless of where we're at, are we still fulfilling the mission and the responsibility of the church? Are we still living the gospel of Christ? Because ultimately, if we're not meeting in more than 50 people, why can't we meet at home? Why can't we do these things? And who's going to take the initiative, which exposes that in everyone's heart? And I think that's the learning season of the church that we're in right now.
Well, thank you, Mark. Something from this year.
Yeah, something from this year. Really, to be very honest and a little transparent, this has been a very, very difficult year, personally, and a lot of soul searching, a lot of discovery as to just me as an individual and who I am to God, and I think that overall this has been a time of where I have had to do this. I surrender. I have, for a long time of my life, been able to do a lot of things on my own strength, and this has challenged me. COVID, this year, 2020, has challenged me to go, yeah, I can't do it on my own strength anymore. I have to trust in the Lord. Like we all can trust in these chairs that they're going to hold us up and we sit in them. I have to trust God to that level, mm-hmm. in everything that I am doing. I mean, you know, we talk about and read in Scripture, pick up your cross daily and follow me and all of that stuff. And I've really come to a place of going, I have to say out loud every morning, Jesus, I surrender. Mm-hmm. I surrender. Mm-hmm. Because there is just no way anymore that I can do this on my own. When I start to try to do things on my own, I get ill.
Yeah.
And I get an upset stomach, I get weak, I get frustrated, I get anxious, because I have a plan that I want to see happen. And God's going, hey, not your plan, but my plan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've had to say, okay, I surrender. And mm-hmm. that has just, it's wrecked me this year. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the wrecking it will be very, very good.
Yep.
I think for it's not something I'm like, I'm a waste now type of thing. No, it's like, here we go. God's finally going, let's go. You're in the right place, mm-hmm. for this season. Let's rock. And I'm just like, I surrender. Yep.
So it has been, where are we going? It has been interesting, the things that we've relied on, even in the name of Christ, that have not been there to hold us up. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I remember there's two moments that came to mind. Was one time, it was about 4 p.m, definitely had Zoom fatigue, which we've all had, you know, and not a sponsor, sorry. And I was washing dishes about 4. My wife says, I'm like, how are you doing? And I remember I just broke. I didn't even know why. And I went for a walk and I was like, I did that just intense grieving of just, I didn't even, you know, just all of the emotions. But there was one time, the other time was when it was one of the last weeks before we went into quarantine when we were in the middle of David, right? That was before quarantine. Yeah. It feels like a long time ago. And I did that message called Some Giants Aren't That Big. And I remember going backstage, the band came on, and I sat kind of stage left, and I just cried on the backstage. I just cried during worship. And the bit I remember of that was when I said, we've underestimated David and over giving too much credit to the giant. And I think in this year, we've given too much credit or too much focus on certain things, and we've underestimated the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ to hold us up, the unity that Christ brings. And we focused on, not saying we should ignore it, but the disunity. What are you doing? What's your opinion? And we've forgotten to, that's got its place on the shelf. But
with the elf.
With the elf that we're not allowed to touch. But we have underestimated the peace that Christ can give us. The spiritual disciplines are important because it points us towards Christ. Ephesians is important because the transformational love that Jesus gives us. And I think sometimes we need to be focused a little bit more on that and a little less on everything else. And that this should only just bring us to more unity, more passion for one another, right? And instead, sometimes it's just easier to point the finger than to hold the mirror in these seasons, because my opinions are truth and your opinions are false, right? That's kind of the world we live in right now. Instead of saying, Christ, what are you saying? And through that, that's what I'm going to try and live. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily surrender. Yep. And that sounds really cool until we have to live it out. You know,
this is where the make every effort. Make every effort to come and sit with Nick and say, all right, can we both set aside what we think and then like search hard the scripture so that we can be unified in where we're going and make every effort to walk through all of the spiritual disciplines. As you were saying that, I'm like, it's so cool how God was like, let me show you how to encounter my grace, like the different ways that you can sit with me and and hear from me and all that stuff. But you're going to have to make every effort. I think that, to me, that seems to be the thing that's ringing. You're going to have to make every effort. He's doing it, but we have to make every effort to engage with him in that. And that's what I heard from you as well.
Yeah. Changing gears a little bit. Let's talk about Christmas.
Yeah.
We are in a season where we're ready to be back open again. What I mean by that is not that the church ever shut down, just the building can be back open so we can do services. We don't know what that looks like as of this moment, but the plan is January 10th.
January 10th.
And there'll be more information on the app. And we are going into a new season. And one thing that I'm excited for is not only that we get to not be in empty rooms anymore, that we get to see our friends, we get to worship together, we get to pray together, we get to listen to the word together. But one thing that I'm weary of is that we'll go back. We'll go back to the defaults. Just as when Christ died, Peter and the boys, what did they do? They went back fishing because they just went back to their default. And I don't want us to go back to our default.
Yeah.
So in that vein, as we come into Christmas, what are one things that we can tell our friends right now? Hey, this is what we want you to take into the end of Advent. How do we finish the year? What's the hope that we've learned this year that can hold us through?
Hmm.
We should go to Jill for that first. Let's go.
I was just thinking, please don't call.
Oh, this.
Right? I need to think a little bit more because what you That's asked fine. Was so good. So
I'll jump right in. I'll
jump in. Jump in. Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm looking at all of you, and you're like, don't ask me now.
And start to move your eyes away. Don't look at me.
I had an answer, and then you kept going, and I'm like, no, I don't have an answer.
Of course, of what we take into Christmas with us, like since we're talking about Ephesians, it's just easy for me to think in Ephesians on this. But in Ephesians chapter 1, I mean, we spent a couple weeks, Mark and I, on just where Paul's like, hey, I just really want you to get this. If you have anything, it's because you're in Christ. It's because he came, he showed up, he did this, he did that out of his glorious grace, out of his kindness, all of that. And so Christmas is no question the season where like he tangibly showed up. And so if there's any time of year that we're going to celebrate everything that it's saying in chapter one and just being reminded, hey, you have your home, you have your family, you have your salvation, you have people who believe in you, you have people who will stand by you because of Christ, in Christ, with Christ. And that's really the celebration of the season. If I was to say anything about what this is about, like we are preaching Christmas messages.
Because we're preaching Jesus messages and the scripture for He Himself is our peace. For He Himself is our peace. I mean, there's more about the unity. Again, we're in Ephesians now too. For He Himself is our peace. And my favorite focus of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us, and He Himself is our peace. And that gives me hope that He came in the midst of this really hostile, environment. And He was our peace. And He broke through all of that. And that's what I want to focus and celebrate on is what He, not only that He came, but what He also promised and what He fulfilled as He did that.
I think a takeaway for me kind of going with this Christmas season is that before Christ, there was this other way of doing things. With the Jews, there was this other standard. There was this law. There was this tradition that was taking place, and then Christ was born, and something new came about. Now, when I say new, obviously it was in God's plan all along, and He was showing us the new before, but He said now. It's time to shift. It's time to pivot. It's time to think about things in a different way. And so for us, this is a lot like that early Christmas, right? We're in a place of pivot. We're in a place of thinking about things in a new way. And we're not able to now, like then. They couldn't go back to the way things were. They try, but because Christ came, because Christ showed this new life, this truth, this freedom, there was no way that they could go back, honestly, to what they had before. And I think that that's the same thing for us. It's like, because of where we are now at, what we see in this Christmas time, we can reflect and go, there's no way we can go back to what we were before, because we have grown, we're different, and in this place of surrender for myself, there is just so much more that God has in store for all of us. A lot more gifts that He's going to pour out in this new season. So I'm pretty excited.
That's good.
I remember walking in my neighborhood in September, and I asked one of my neighbors. They put up their Christmas tree in September.
I love them.
Yes.
I don't know who they are. But
it's funny that people are like, you can't do it till after Thanksgiving. Well, it's always after Thanksgiving at some point, right? And I asked her very simply, it was a little bit of a rush, and I said, why is your Christmas tree up? And her response was, I think we need Christmas right now. And I thought it was a beautiful moment that, like, throughout the year, what do we need from Christmas? The hope. Like, without the hope of Jesus, the hope of Christ, which we've already experienced at that time, they hadn't experienced that. They were in the longing, in the great, as C.S. Lewis said, the great sigh before Christ came. But we've experienced that hope, and the weight has been lifted. Like, we know what it's like. We know that He came. We know that He's coming back. And the peace and the hope that that is beautiful. And I think right now we all need a little bit of hope. And I know where to find it. And we just have to lean into it. Surrender to it, let the light in, and it can be there, you know? To end our time, if it's okay with you, I just thought it'd be appropriate to end just by reading out the one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians, if that's cool. The end of chapter 3. It's just before where we get the therefore. You know, this is the end. He does a prayer at the beginning in chapter 1, and then he kind of says everything that God in Christ is, and then he ends with this prayer. Before he says, this is how we live it out. And I think it's so appropriate for the season, as it is probably for every season. But chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand.
Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, thank you for enjoying us on stage, almost on a couch.
Hopefully you enjoyed
and it. Hopefully we get to see you guys soon. Tune in for the Christmas Eve service that will be on Thursday, Christmas Eve, which we're really looking forward to. That's something very special for you guys. And we are very, very, you don't understand how much we're looking forward to seeing everyone in face after New Year's, which is only like 2 or 3 weeks away. So we love you guys and hope you have an amazing day.